Welcome to the Nova Nation podcast. This is Rob Logan. On this episode, my good friend and co-host Chris Merle and I have a talk with none other than the one and only Nova hat guy himself, Joe Ermilio. We also discuss the first up-and-coming games of the season. All that right now on the Nova Nation podcast. Listen up. Go Nova. Nova Nation, I'm sure you are all familiar with our next guest. He can be seen at Nova games dancing and cheering on the team. He is a Villanova legend known to all as the Nova hat guy, John Ermilio. John, how are you doing?
Well, hi, Rob. It's also nice of you to ask me. Thank you.
It's an honor.
These kind of things.
No, it's an honor for us to have you on the show. You have a lot of great information about Villanova basketball and a lot about the history. So that's the reason why we thought it would be a good to have you come on the show. So I appreciate it.
Well, I'm no historian, but I've been there since I was 4 years old. So
Wow. So that actually leads into my first question here. When did it all start for you, your passion for Nova basketball?
Well, you know, my father was a Villanova graduate in the 30s. And I had an uncle who was a Villanova guy, and we were a Villanova family. And my mother used to take us to when I was 4 years old. And then my first real basketball was at the Palestra, and it was a guy named Jimmy Powers, who was the star of the team. And I was 8 years old. That's all I remembered was this guy with a great ball player. The team wasn't that good, but it was Al Severance was the coach. And when you hear the ringing and the echoing in the Palestra building, and it's like, oh my God, this is exciting. This is so much fun. You just get hooked.
Wow.
I took my children to the field house when they were 10 years old, and they got the same thing. They got hooked. We would sit in the rafters and just whatever the games were. This was back in, I guess it was the 80s, early 80s. Mm-hmm. And we just had so much fun jumping and cheering that, especially when it gets exciting when it's like a crack. You hear that when a particular play is made or a big shot is made, you hear a crack. And you actually, we used to look up and say, oh my God, we weren't sure the building wasn't shaking. It got so loud that you just feel excited to be a part of it.
Mm-hmm. And how did you actually then transfer and become known as the Nova hat guy?
That's another. I don't know if that's too long of a story. Everybody knows Al Pitino,
right?
And he came to the Wells Fargo. In those days, it was the Wachovia Center, and with the Louisville, he came with the Louisville team. He had coached Providence before, but Providence didn't play at the Wachovia Center. And when he was coaching Louisville, the games were staged at the Wachovia Center. So it was a great game. And it was the opportunity to even play these guys. But we won the game by a point or two, 61-60, something like that. But it was my seats are three rows behind the visitors' bench,
And those are like your seats always
still there. We're still right there.
Wow, awesome!
This goes back to 2000 and early Jay Wright's early years. It was the Randy Foy's team. And, But the students would always say, stand up to the alumni. They would go, on your feet, on your feet. And I, I never stopped jumping around. I never stopped. And the alumni who were behind me now, I'm on the third row. People would go, sit down. God, Father, I can't see. And they complain about it. I don't know how it happened or what happened, but I hear all this cheering, and it was during a timeout. And I'm jumping around having a good time. And I look up and I see they're cheering about me.
Oh,
I said,
wow.
I thought that everybody was up behind me because students are saying, get up to the alumni. I think, well, everybody's up. We're all just jumping around. But I was the only guy. When you realize that it was just me, I said, but after that, it got to be like we're driving down the street, leaving the place, and everybody's going, "Hey, that's that guy! Hey, that's that guy!" So I just I became that guy.
Wow, and that evolved into the hat.
Yeah. Oh well, the hat.
The stainy of the hat.
The hat is another story too. I used the hat like a prop. You know, wave the hat because I'm standing up, I'm jumping around, and the camera's on you. So you're always looking for some kind of something to use. And I would take the hat off and I turned it around and, you know, make fun of the hat. And it was I don't know if Rob, if you would remember, but we were playing St. Joe, and just by coincidence, it was Archie's freshman year. And we had we were bad that year. We were barely 500. But we had lost, I think it was to Columbia. And it was the game before. And now we had to play St. Joe. And the year was 2013. Mm-hmm. And I said to my wife, I said, you know, I haven't had that old hat. I want to get that old hat out. Because I was wearing these other hats. I got new ones, and this hat cost me $20 in the streets of New York. It's a piece of plastic. It's not really real leather. And I said to her, you know, maybe I should dust off the old hat, and we win the game. We beat St. Joe. Whoa. And then that next a couple games later, we're playing Syracuse at the Wells Fargo, and I was sick. It was a flu going around, and I couldn't make the game. So I give the hat to my grandchildren, and I said, make sure you wave the hat. Just wave the hat. And that was the game where we ended up the students and everybody goes onto the court, storms the court, because – we were barely a 500 club, and we were beating a top-ranked team.
Yeah, that was one of the years that they won the championship, Syracuse, I think, right around that time.
Yes, that's right. That's right. And we beat them.
Yeah.
And then we beat Marquette, was a top-ranked team at the time. We beat them. And so I said, geez, I can't get rid of this hat. It must be that.
Wow. So, and that's the same hat all these years.
Well, I duct taped it now. Because it's a piece of plastic. If you look on my Instagram, I have photos of it. Because I tried to retire it a couple times. And it just like, oh no, these other hats aren't quite working. So I have three or four hats that I wear to go to the game. But I carry now the hat in my pocket. Because it's just good luck. And a couple of years ago, remember the Purdue game? Was our last game of the season. It was in Connecticut. We had a it was Phil Booth and Eric Pascal's team. And it was a good team. And we're playing a Purdue team that was pretty good. And I bring the hat everywhere I go, and I left it in the hotel room that night. And we lose that game. And it was like, I just can't, That's just too much good luck. It's almost wow. almost undefeated.
Now, wait, let me ask you a question, though. For, like, away games, do you have the hat with you when you're watching the game?
No, it's in the building. Hat has to be in the building.
Okay, all right. That's how it works. Okay.
When the hat gets in the building, that's where the magic starts.
That's when the magic happens.
I say it's like it's like Frosty the Snowman, you know? There's magic in the hat. You put it on his head and he begins to dance around.
Wow. Well, wait. So speaking of your dance moves, I've seen your dance moves. I've been at games at the Wells Fargo where you've been on the Tron. I've seen the moves. Do you work on your moves?
I can't say I work on them, but I do practice.
Okay.
I practice. I imagine moves and I do that. At night when I can't sleep. I just, you know, I use different moves with different tunes. Paul Simon, you know, the album Graceland.
Uh-huh.
Or the guy that just passed away. I can't remember. And Santana, Carlos Santana. So I have a couple of tunes that I just practice my moves. Oh, and then Belushi, the Blues Brothers.
Oh, yeah.
Because I'm kind of like a little bit of a John Belushi character. You know, a guy who's just way overweight. And nobody believes that I can really dance that much at my age and get all that much energy. But somehow, the game, it's the game.
Right.
It's not me.
Well, that's what it is.
I'm just a fan.
Well, right. And then, so out of, you know, all this time of watching Villanova basketball, do you have a memorable moment that stands out?
Well, it's funny. It's hard to find any memorable moment better than that 2016 championship year. That mm-hmm. championship game, the shot. Oh, my God. People were all over the stands. That was the game. Felicia Jenkins, Chris Jenkins' mom, when he, mm-hmm. before the shot goes through the hoop, nobody really knows whether it's before he took it or not, but she sees the ball coming to him. She stands up and she goes, "We got this one." And
really?
She's the woman who coached her son. She would get the rebound when he was 10 years old and pass it out to him from the top of the key. She was doing that when he was a child. And it's just like,
wow.
And she jumps up and went, "We got this one." That was a great moment. I can also tell you there's some stories that I have going back. When you're ready.
well, we could definitely have you on again because, you know, we could definitely talk a lot about history, but I could just add for that championship game. I mean, I watched it with my son. I have a younger son, and he was probably, I want to say maybe 7, mm-hmm. 8 years mm-hmm. old at that time. And I allowed him to stay up late to watch that game. And, you know, he stayed awake. He was into it the whole time. Yeah. And when North Carolina, when Paige made that shot, he almost started to cry.
Right. Yeah.
And I was like, whoa. Yeah. I said, "You got to wait a minute." Yeah. I said, "There's still some time." I said, they're going to come up with a play. I said, "I'm telling you, we're going to get a shot at this." And he was starting to get upset and everything. And sure enough, you know, when Arch brings it up, Arch was his favorite player. So he thought Arch was going to shoot it. So he was watching him come up the court and he's watching him. Yeah. And then he passed it and shot. And it was concrete. Now, and he was only 7 years old. Yeah. And his face and his enjoyment of that just was, for me, it was worth it, you know, having him stay up. And
I know exactly what you feel. I could tell you, you're just reminded me. I have a similar story. My children in 1985, when we won the championship, we were watching at home, and we ended up going out on the Villanova campus and stuff after the game, and we were jumping around. And they were 10 years old at the time. And so now it's the night before the championship game in 2016. And I'm in Houston, and I called my kids, and I said, look, I'm here. I got a hotel room. You can sleep on the floor. Get over here. We got to, you got to be here for the championship game.
Right.
They both said the exact same thing. They said, hey, Dad, we were with you in 1985 when we were 10 years old. We have 10-year-old kids now. We want to stay with them. And that's something, the exact same story that you have. They have memories of them watching the game together and seeing that big win.
Yeah, and now, you know, my son is hooked, but he can talk about that game like it happened yesterday.
Isn't that great?
And that's a great thing. I mean, and that's just, I mean, to me, that's just the you know, the hold that sports in general have over us.
That's right.
But it's even better when it's, you know, your team that provides a memory like that, you know, so I just think that's great. Now, let me ask you, last season, were you able to get some enjoyment out of last season?
Yeah, actually,
we got through it a little bit, but the whole COVID thing.
Well, it's funny. I was in Madison Square Garden when they closed the lights at the last, you know, they halftime. It was St. John's and somebody, DePaul, I think, or George. I'm not sure.
Yeah, that was one of the playing games, right?
Yeah, but the playing game was the night before.
Well, that's right. Okay, yes, that's the second night. That's right.
And we invented the high elbow. It was full of St. John's people. St. John's was playing Georgetown. And that's a classic matchup. So there was, and of course, St. John's people, they come through because they don't have to travel to get there. They just live there. And so it's full of St. John's people. And we're high elbowing the St. John's people. But actually, last year, that was a good team. But we were fortunate, actually. They didn't have seniors. So it's like that wasn't their last hurrah.
Right.
So that was, and we had a good season.
Yeah, it was for me. I mean, when we, you know, how things ended, it seemed like we were starting to peak at the right time and really come together. Yeah. I think we had like 7 or 8 wins in a row there. And I just think things were starting to really click, and it was just, when they made that announcement and everything, it was just like, and as soon as everything happened with the NBA, because actually my son and I were watching the games that night, and then they canceled the Jazz game. Once that all started to trickle down, it was like you knew it was going to happen, you know, and you knew everything was just going to kind of halt for a while. So, but definitely you bring up a great point of everybody come back. We'll go back to that in a minute, but I just want to get a quick. So over your years of watching Villanova, you've seen two really great coaches for the Nova program, Coach Massimino and Coach Wright. What do you think, as far as similarities of the two of them, what do you think is their greatest, similarity?
Raleigh Massimino, his mantra was prepare, prepare, prepare. He never lost a game when he had a week to prepare for it in the NCAA tournament. Every time he won the Sunday game, he would prepare for the next team, and he always won the first game of the weekend. He didn't always win the second one because, you know, it's an elimination tournament, but he never lost when he had a week to prepare. And Jay Wright is the same way. Prepare, prepare, prepare. Those teams are so prepared for whatever's coming their way. That was each one of them. Now, Raleigh had an emotional side to him that I kind of think that's where I come in. You know, Raleigh was a bit of a clown. He would get his hair messed up, and I kind of fill that role for us, because Jay, he's just the other way. he's not ruffled right. by anything. Is you heard that thing yeah. about Bang, right? You know, mm-hmm. at the 2016 championship when he hit the shot, when
yep.
bang, that's all he said yep. was bang. But yep. then nobody, you know what Jay Wright does better than anybody? He learns from his own mistakes. He applies a standard to his players of just keep getting better, keep getting better. And Jay does the exact same thing. None of us, right. I know myself, we always say, do as I say, don't do as I do. Jay, he gets himself better when he needs something. He needs to learn something. And every year, his teams have gotten better coached from year to year.
Right.
And that's something that
Raleigh
never really learned from his mistakes.
Well, we had a great conversation on a podcast earlier this year about Jay Wright, and that was my biggest attribute that uh-huh. I gave to him was his development of his players.
Right.
And when you see these players, there's not too many coaches mm-hmm. out there that their players get better every single mm-hmm. year. Mm-hmm. And that really is an attribute to him and the way he coaches, the way, like you said, he prepares. For me, as having a young child mm-hmm. wanting to go play mm-hmm. somewhere, that would be the ideal yep. coach yep. for me.
That's right. And a lot of guys come to Villanova for that reason.
Right, right, right. Well, let me ask you. So we talked a little bit about it. What do you think of this year's team? Where do you think we're going to go?
Oh boy. I'm so disappointed that we're not going to be there in the stands. We're not playing with fans yes. in the stands. And I'll be at the women's games, which is going to be fun. But we're not going to be getting into the men's games. And then I'm somewhat disappointed because this team, we're good. We're really good. We're top five ranking. Mm-hmm. And there's no question in my mind that if we don't make the Final Four, it'll be a disappointment. We're that good. Mm-hmm. We are that
That's
good.
What we say. That's what we say.
We got the right blend of seniors and younger players. And I got to tell you too, see the guys that stay to their senior years, they're the guys that give me the biggest thrill, because they're the guys mm-hmm. that came in like we're talking about. As freshmen, they weren't that good. And then they got better and better and better and better every year. To watch a teenager become an adult, it's like you're honored just to be in their presence. And you get to observe mm-hmm. it, and you get to see it for 4 years. You get become so attached to their playing personality.
Well, that's about, my son is attached to the hip with Dada, uh-huh, uh-huh. Demir, uh-huh. Cosby uh-huh. Roundtree. That's his player. That's his uh-huh. go-to guy. He loves that guy. And that's just like what you said. He's come up through the system, and you can't help but root for the guy. Yeah. I mean,
well, you watch him mature.
Watching him how they play.
Dada's leadership is second to none. I mean, he doesn't get as much playing time, but he's a leader on that team. He's doing a lot of the mm-hmm. discipline and keeping the players together in their own routine and their own preparations. So it's like he's a real winner. Same with Mano, Samuels. And the same with Colin.
Yep.
I just saw that today. Colin's up
Colin
for
too.
the Bob Cousy Award. He just got nominated.
Yep. One of the best freshmen. One of the best guards. Yep. Yeah.
He's on the list.
Well, we hope we can enjoy it, and I hope we do go far. It would be a nice little story to add to the other two wins. But John, I wanted to thank you for coming on our show. It is truly an honor to talk to you, to have somebody on the show that has as much information and knowledge of Nova basketball. It's truly an honor
well,
to talk to you.
Well, thanks, Rob. I really appreciate you inviting me.
The iHeartRadio app provides your music, your stations, and is rated number one for podcasts. Stream unlimited music, thousands of live radio stations, podcasts, and playlists for any mood or activity all in one app. The iHeartRadio app is easy to use, and best of all, it's free. Download the iHeartRadio app and start listening to your favorite live radio stations, podcasts, and music playlists today.
All right, Nova Nation, it is game week, and we wanted to talk a little bit about some of the upcoming games. But before we do that, just a quick little couple of updates for you. First and foremost, congratulations goes out to Sadiq Bey, who went on the 19th pick in this year's NBA draft. He went to the Detroit Pistons. So congratulations to Sadiq. Also, we just found out just the other day, I think it was either over the weekend maybe, that there's only going to be family allowed of the student athletes to attend the games this year at the Pavilion. So that kind of sucks for all the rest of us, but we will definitely be following as sure on the TV as much as possible. We also have an injury update. Jameer Cosby-Roundtree will be out part of the season, the early part of the season. It looks like senior Kevin Hohen tore his Achilles in practice. And I'm sure a lot of you heard as well, Brian Antoine will not be dressing for the 2K Classic. He had a freak accident with a teammate, same shoulder. But this is more, from what I heard, it's more precautionary than anything. So hopefully he'll be back sooner than later. I want to talk to my friend Chris. I have a proposed starting lineup, and there's a little bit of a question mark. So I asked Chris his opinion on what that question mark is. But right now, a proposed starting lineup for their first game against Boston College will be Colin Gillespie, Jermaine Samuels, Jeremiah Robinson Earl, and Justin Moore. Those are the four confirmed starters. That fifth starter will be, I guess, a game time decision. And right now, I guess the candidates they say is Cole Swider, Daniels, or Slater. So, Chris, who do you think to get the nod for that fifth spot, based upon who we already have in the starting lineup?
Hey, Rob, how are you?
Good.
It's tough to say. I mean, Caleb Daniels transferred to Villanova for a reason. I don't understand why he would come if he wasn't going to get a lot of playing time. So I'm going to probably guess it's going to be Daniels. Now, that gives you a smaller lineup. If you want to play Swider, it gives you a little bit of a bigger set, and you could bring Caleb Daniels off the bench. But I'm going to probably guess it'll be Daniels to start to give you a little more offense.
I think that's I agree with you. I think that's the way to go. You need a little bit of offense. You have your defensive stopper with Samuels in there. You have your rim protector with Robinson Earl. You have, you know, Moore and Gillespie as your point / shooting guards. I want to say hybrids. So I think that would be a good addition. And then from what I heard, rumor has it that the sixth man coming off the bench will be that next scoring punch. So, you know, if that turns out to be Cole or Slater, I guess that's the way to go right now with, you know, with Cosby Roundtree being down and obviously with Antoine not dressing for these games.
Yeah. And I think they were expecting some things, especially offensively from Antoine. So it is a blow, but with Cosby Roundtree, he does give you a bit more size. And I'm wondering if Jay Wright might just go with Swider just because of his size to start out. It is curious. We'll see. It is going to be interesting to see how they play it in the beginning.
Right. And the beginning is right upon us. Boston College is their first game of the season. Last year, Boston College was 13-19 overall, 7-13 in the ACC. Obviously, they play in the ACC with a lot of the big boys.
Mm-hmm.
Their head coach is in his seventh season, so and they are returning a lot of their starters from last year. So this should be an interesting first game for the Nova Wildcats, right?
It is. BC's best player last year was a freshman, so he's back. Although preseason predictions have them predicted last this year for the ACC, I saw a couple have them at 14th. So I don't know. I don't know how much to expect from this squad. I mean, it's a tough draw playing your tournament. you're getting the number three team in the country right off the bat. I mean, that's pretty tough.
That is tough.
Yeah,
they do have a returning junior, Winston Tabbs, from last year, who was out with an injury, so he could be a little bit of a, you know, he's a guard. He's supposed to be, you know, getting some points for them. So that could be somebody that they have to watch out for coming back off of an injury.
Yeah, and I think they have a European player, too, that I think is pretty good. His name escapes me right now.
Luca. Is his name Luca?
I'm not sure. He is from
– I think it might
– Yeah, he
– I think it might be Luca.
I think he is from – the former Yugoslavia, either Serbia or Croatia, but I mean it's a program that's definitely struggled to get any kind of foothold in the ACC. They haven't made the NCAA tournament in 11 years.
Wow!
Yeah, since 2009, and they joined the ACC in 2006, and they had success right away. They made the tournament three out of those first 4 years, but yeah, they haven't made the tournament since 2009. So, you know, it's been tough sledding for them in the ACC.
Well, from what I've read, just going back to that junior Tabs, he really has to be the one to establish himself back if Boston College is going to have any chance of a year, you know, having any type of run or you know, a semblance of getting out of that cellar. So I think that's a lot on him. And if he doesn't reestablish himself, it's going to be a long season for BC.
I would think so.
The 2K Classic is where Villanova's starting off. And like we said, Boston College is their first game. However, just right before we really almost started the podcast, there's been some changes to that 2K lineup. Baylor, who I did a ton of research on, of course, and was really looking forward to talking about them being right now, what, the number two team in America?
Yes.
I think, yep, had a really good – write up about them and thought that was going to be a really good game. And now I think they backed out from what I heard. So Baylor will not be in the 2K Classic. They are trying to get another team in as we speak to join Arizona State, obviously Villanova, and Boston College. So it should be interesting what team they get to replace Baylor. But from some of the rumblings, I tried to get on the internet real quick and look at things, and it was kind of confusing. I think Baylor might be like not playing a lot of their games in the beginning of the season, from what I'm reading.
Yeah, I know some. I think I saw the Big Ten is only going to play select non-conference games. Is that what I'm seeing? Mm-hmm. So maybe the Big 12 is going to try to do the same thing. That maybe they'll only play regional non-conference games. Mm-hmm. So it could be possible that they don't want to travel. This is the tournament you're talking about with Nova that's in Madison Square Garden? Or the one in Mohegan Sun?
It's in the Mohegan
Sun.
Right,
okay. So they're doing the bubble type atmosphere in the Mohegan Sun in Connecticut, correct?
Well, yes, they will be there. I have confirmation that they have already left.
Okay.
And have headed to the Mohegan Sun. The players are already on their way. I'm sure they're already there by now. That's not really a long drive. So, yes, they're going to do the bubble. They'll be there on Wednesday. I guess stay for Thursday, or I don't know. I mean, Thanksgiving, I'm assuming they might have Thanksgiving dinner together. And then Friday will be the second game of, I guess, whoever joins. And then and that team will play Arizona State. So that winner of that game will play Villanova on
Friday.
Is
Villanova semester over? Are they done?
That I'm not sure of. I know it's winding down. So they could possibly be done. I really haven't heard anything. Usually I get some like things that I get on Twitter or Instagram about like about finals week and all that stuff like that. So I haven't really got anything like that, but I'm assuming this is right around the time when they break and they're done. So I would assume it's right around that time.
Now, are they going to allow fans at the tournament? Or when you were speaking earlier about they're only going to allow family members, is that just at the pavilion in the state of Pennsylvania? Do we know?
That is what Yeah, that's what I heard so far about
the
pavilion.
Okay, do we know if there's going to be fans at this tournament in Connecticut?
I do not know that. That's a good question.
It's going to be an interesting interesting vibe to have a four-team tournament with no fans. I don't know what that's going to look like or sound like, but, I guess it's the world we live in. We'll just have to see what the atmosphere is like. It's going to be unusual for sure.
It will definitely be different. The game is on ESPN Wednesday night to watch. So that should be interesting. I believe both games are on ESPN. So even though we might not be able to get there, we can definitely watch them on the TV and root them on. After those two games, they do have another game coming up with a familiar foe, and that would be St. Joe's, who last year we played them at their site. We won 78-66, but we pulled away at the end there, and Ryan Daly will be returning for St. Joe's this year. So this will definitely be a tough game, third game in.
Where is this game, at the pavilion or is it at Hawk Hill?
Well, it did say in the beginning to be determined, but I'm assuming since we were there last year that this would have to be our home year. So I would assume it would be at the pavilion.
I would think so. I mean, St. Joe's is, like you said, they have a returning player, but they're they're really searching for an identity right now. I mean, they had a really bad season last year. Billy Lang took over for Phil Martelli, who was there, you know, like 100 years, and did have success, but kind of they really faded in the last few years. They went 2-16 in conference play last year in the A-10. They only won two games. Yeah, wow. So they're really rebuilding. I don't know what's expected from them. It's sort of hard to say at this point, you know, with a new coach and a new program. It's always how tolerant is administration going to be? Are they going to be patient and give them time? So it'll be interesting to see what type of program that he can build there after with Martelli being there for so long.
All right. And Chris, also, you know that their first two games of the season, they're playing in a tournament down in Fort Myers, it looked like Fort Myers tip-off tournament in Florida. And their first game is against Auburn. And then they come back the second game and play Kansas.
Did you see Auburn just put self-imposed sanctions on themselves?
Yeah.
Interesting.
I mean, obviously two tough games and then a third tough game. They might be beat up, you know, by the time that third game comes around.
Auburn, then Kansas, then Villanova. That's quite a stretch right there. Hopefully they can come out a tougher team and get them ready for conference play with all that the level of competition that they're going to face.
Right. And last year, Shadiq was the leading scorer last year in last year's game, followed by Colin. Those two guys definitely stood out in that game. But also I remember this game because watching it on the TV, who really stood out to me and really, I think, made his presence known early and it kind of carried over for the rest of the year was Justin Moore, who had like 14 points and kind of really shot the ball well. He was 7-for-11 from the field that game. So he really kind of solidified himself as – you know, one of those freshmen. And I think that really, you know, propelled his year. So I'm really looking forward to seeing him play, obviously, you know, against Boston College and whoever, but really, you know, against St. Joe's as well, because I think that's a good matchup for him.
And I think he's going to pick up a lot of the scoring slack that you lost with Bay, especially shooting from the outside. Moore and possibly Daniels, who we really haven't seen much of. So it's going to be interesting to see how they fill the void of the scoring. We've both talked on previous pods how we love Colin Gillespie, but he's probably shouldn't be your leading scorer in an ideal world. You know what I mean? Because he's so valuable to the team in other ways. And, you know, there were games, like you said, where he's playing 40 minutes a game, which is just, you know, insane when you think about it. But he's so valuable that he probably shouldn't be your leading scorer this year. Hopefully he's not. And you see someone else emerge to fill that role.
Hey, Chris, I'm just looking back at last year's game. Ryan Daly, 32 points last year he put up against Nova. He was 11-for-22 from the field. He didn't make not one three. He was 0-for-5 and 10-for-11 from the free throw line. I just remember him like getting into the lane a lot.
Now, they play typically most of the Big Five, the non-conference games in December, correct?
Yeah. That's what I was gonna bring up too. You're right. And I know, you know, that's a big thing.
Yeah. I mean, well, obviously with Temple now being in the All-American, they have a pretty crazy travel schedule. LaSalle and St. Joe's are in the A-10. Of course, Penn is in the Ivy League. So it is probably a good thing that they kind of get all of those games in before their conference play starts, because you'd hate to play, like, say, Villanova plays Seton Hall on a Wednesday night, and then they got to play Saturday against Temple. I mean, that's not, you know, the most ideal situation. So I think they like to get these games in before January. I could be wrong, though. With this year, everything might be completely up in the air. We don't really know yet.
Yeah, it might be more of like a logistical thing of where, you know, where the teams are playing before, you know, they play Villanova. You know, could be that, you know, if they're in the area, they probably want to keep these teams in the area, so there's not a lot of contact with, you know, all these different states and, you know, quarantine and all that fun stuff. So definitely should be interesting, but we are definitely looking forward to these first three games. And like I said, I was definitely really, really looking forward to Baylor versus Villanova in the second game of the season, because I was going to deem that could be the NCAA finals right there. And that could be a rematch, is what I thought it was going to be. Because you definitely have two teams that are expected to, you know, go for that title. So it's a shame, but hey, we'll play whoever, and we got to beat whoever they put.
I mean, last year I would have liked to have seen Nova play Kansas again. They played that great game in December at the Wells Fargo Center. That could have been a rematch in the NCAA tournament, but unfortunately, we never got to see that. So with the matchup this year with Baylor, it could have been a similar situation where they would have squared off in November, and then who knows, down the road, they might have seen each other again.
Are you looking for a compassionate, family-centered pediatrician in Hamilton, New Jersey? If so, we know the right place. Hamilton Pediatrics specializes in medical care for kids, and they would love to get to know you and your family better. Their commitment is to help children reach their highest potential by working with parents to promote and maintain their child's physical and emotional well-being from birth up to college years. Check them out at www.hamiltonpediatrics.com. What's up, Nova Nation? If you have any questions that you would like to have answered or discussed on the show, email us at thenovanationpodcast@gmail.com.